Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. It is always a privilege and an honor to be into the house of God. Amen. So whether it is two or more gathered, he is in the midst. And I just thank God for the practice. Amen. We got to practice for when more people come. Practice ushering his spirit. Practice preaching. The Bible says be ready in season and out of season. And that requires practice. Allen Iverson said, practice? Practice? But yes, it requires practice to become men and women and children of God. And I'm going to preach something that God put on my heart. And we'll get in and get out. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for the ability to be here, dear God, with amongst brothers and sisters in Christ, oh God. We pray, dear God, that your word would stir us, oh God, that it would build us into who you called us to be, oh God. I pray, dear God, that you would move by your spirit, impact and change. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody say, amen. As I was getting ready to, as I was preparing, it was funny, I woke up, I had a dream. And in my dream, there was a scripture, a chapter in the Bible, and it was a theme. But when I went and looked up, I was like, God, if you give me messages like this, it's over. I can do this all the time. But I got up and read it, and I was like, I don't know if they really actually matched. But I ended up reading it anyway. So it's funny how God give you a scripture, and you just start reading it because I could remember it. Amen. I don't know about you. Sometimes you hear songs in your dreams and you're like, man, if I could just write that down, boy, that's going to be the cut. And you forget. You try to. It's funny. God usually, when he does stuff like that, I actually have a book that I'm trying to put together one day, finish. It's called 31 Days of Genuine Life. Right. And in each day, it talks about one thing that you have to have in your life that will help you have a real, authentic, genuine life. And the last chapter, he gave me the last chapter first, and the last one is you have to have a relationship with Jesus. Not last, he's not least, but it's the last thing, because I want to be able to get people that might not be saved into that book, amen? But every time he gives me stuff to write, it's like 5 in the morning, and I'll be like, God, if you did this at 5 in the afternoon, I'll be done. Was there something about God speaking to you in the morning? Amen. Well, today, I'm going to talk about hunger. This kind of came up in my spirit, the word hunger. And when I was thinking about it, I was like, huh, what can I get from that? And do we have the New King James Version Bible over here somewhere? I left my iPad. No, I just used the real Bible today. But it was the word hunger just kept coming in my spirit. And I was like, okay, it's important for us to hunger, yep, and thirst. But we're just going to talk about the hunger. Matthew 5, 6 is the theme scripture for today. And it says, this is actually from the Sermon on the Mount. This is just one of the phrases that I wanted to use. You can go read the rest of it if you like. But it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and they shall be filled. Now, as I was thinking about hunger, I was wondering how many of us are hungry for the things of God on a day-to-day basis. I think as believers, sometimes we can get caught in the, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and every now and then I got to share God with somebody, right? I mean, if God really puts it heavy on my heart, then you know, and I'm going to just say this, that's the typical Christian, right? I got saved. I gave my life to Christ. All right. You know, I try to let him lead me in most of the things, right? But every now and then I should get some kind of urge to hunger for God. And I believe that now, as we are in this age of the church, as we are continuing to grow, you see many and more people begin to lose hunger for or appetite for the things of God. And when they lose the appetite for the things of God, what begins to happen is they start searching for other appetites. See, the thing that it said is, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. But that also tells me that many people hunger and thirst after other things. And it's very important that us as believers don't get caught in that trap. Because it can be easy to be hungry. Oh, I'm hungry about my position. I gotta hunger and thirst and get better at whatever my position is. I gotta grow here. I got ambitions, right? Everybody got ambitions. I wanna do these things. But if we lose the hunger and thirst for righteousness, what good will it be? The Bible says, what good is it for a man to gain this whole world? Because in it, you got to think about it, that person was hungry to gain the whole world. All right? I mean, we could talk some people in the world. Hitler had a hunger to be a antagonist ruler. Right? That's just saying it nicely. Okay? All right? Al Capone, he wanted to be the man. So he had a hunger for power. Right? To be in authority. People have a hunger for what they are chasing. Trump had a hunger to become the president, or else he wouldn't have did it. And I think he was shocked when he became it, right? But what I'm saying is, there is hunger inside of each and every one of us. And if we are not hungering and thirsting for righteousness, you will not be filled. So what is it like? Have you guys ever ate the meal, thought you should be full, and you're like, dang, I'm still hungry. I was talking to Marcel this week, and he was like, he don't really like pasta. I was like, what? What's wrong with you, Sal? He's like, man, if I eat it, I don't feel like I'm full. Like, in less than an hour, I got to go eat something else again. And I was like, that's interesting. I never thought about it. But I remember eating, and if you're not full, you're like, wait a minute. What the heck did I just do? Right? And here, let me give you guys a clue. This is why fast food is not that great. Because fast food is fast food. Right? You eat it and you're hungry again faster. But if you start eating fruits and vegetables, and something that we've been doing, we've been eating this last week, we started a new thing: meat, vegetables, fruit, and nuts and stuff like that. That's it. But it's filling. And I don't feel like I got to keep on getting it. If I want something extra, I just grab a few more. The trail mix or something like that. But it is definitely helping our body. Amen? Because I'm starting to learn that everything processed is not always good. Now, don't get it twisted. You can eat what you eat. I'm not that guy that's going to be like, hey, look, I'm eating this and you don't need to eat that. Right? Look, that's not my calling in life. Amen? But I know what works for me. But many of us eat of many different things, and we are not satisfied because we're not eating the right thing spiritually. I'm talking about, we have to have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. And that's something that I wake up and saying, God, I just want to be closer to you. God, I just want you to, I want my desires to become your desires. That is righteousness. Righteousness means to be in right standing with God. More than anything else in this life, that's the goal for me. God, now it would be nice if I could have these other things, but I want to be in right standing with you. So when I lay my head down at night, I don't have to worry. Right? Because if I leave this earth, I'm like, okay, well, God, I was in right standing with you. Awesome. I'm going to be with you when I wake up. But many of us have to have a hunger for the right things. Amen? We're going to go to Luke chapter 11, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And we call this the parable of the prodigal son, right? But I was reading it in my Bible when it said the parable of the lost son. That's interesting because, you know, the prodigal, we don't really know what prodigal means. That's not like that was my prodigal son over there. I mean, this is like, what does that mean? If you go tell somebody in the world that, they have no clue. I was talking to somebody about the Bible and, you know, I know some people might take this with them to the grave, but King James Version, right? How great thou art. And I said, man, you don't talk to people like that, do you? I said, it's interesting because, you know, sometimes when you're so religious, you got your own language and people don't know what you're talking about. I remember going through the youth program that I was going through with Vision Youth. The biggest thing they said was don't use religious words because kids might not know what that means. So break it down to them in their language. And that's something that I started doing that as a young youth pastor. I want to make sure you understand this. We're going to read this Bible, and if you don't understand it, stop me so we can figure out what it means. And that's the goal of the church. We are called to teach, not to just say nice things, right? Luke chapter 15, verse 11, it says, then he said, Jesus said this, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. All right, there goes that word again. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Now, let me stop right here. The thing about the prodigal son that we don't always highlight is he had a hunger for something else. Right? He's on this land. It seems like his dad has a great land. Right? Everything is cool here. Everything is great. But he has such a strong desire, which is a hunger, inside of him that he's like, I got to get out of here. Father, I don't want to be what you are. Okay? That's kind of what he's saying. I know this looks good, but I seen on TV they was living like that. And I got to go get that. Now, he didn't have a TV, so he might have saw it in a stethoscope or something. Who knows? Not a stethoscope, but a telescope. Right? He might have saw from a far land or some pictures that showed him that, hey, that's what I want. I don't want to live here and just live like this anymore. So his hunger drove him to go do something extreme. And that's the thing about hungers. Have you ever been so hungry that you would be willing to eat anything? Just about. Right? I mean, when you're really hungry, it don't matter what you're eating. You're going to eat it, right? If you're starving, I mean, if we watch these shows like Survivor, I'm sorry, they're eating the inside of sticks. They're like, hey, wait, I got to eat this bug right here. This bug got protein. I'm trying to live. When you are starving for something and you need to eat, you will eat. But his hunger drove him somewhere else. But he wasn't hungering and thirsting for righteousness. So we see after he was done, it said he began to be in want, which I say made him want to be hungry again. That's the thing about sin. When you eat sin, you don't get full. Right? The more sin, the more sin you get into, the bigger your appetite for sin becomes. It doesn't stop because sin doesn't want you to stop. Sin wants to get you like that hamster on that wheel, that Ferris wheel. Just keep on running. Look, it might get closer. You're getting closer, but you ain't going nowhere. But that hunger drives that little hamster. And that's what sin does. The hunger, if you don't control the hunger that you have in your spirit, because everybody has a hunger, whether they're quiet, whether they're shy, whether they're outgoing, right? Everybody has a hunger. And you'll see it from people after a while. Take away something that they're really hungry about, and hey, they might give you some choice words. Or they might even start swinging. Right? There is a hunger inside of us, and it must be satisfied with God, or we won't be satisfied. It says, he began to be in want in verse 15. Verse 14. Now we're in verse 15. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. All right? And swine is pigs. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Somebody say hungry. Now this lost son is like, I want to eat what the pigs are eating. Now, that's a tough thing. I'm going to just say this. When I see people digging in garbage cans to eat food, that hurts me. I will go buy you something when I see that happening. Right? Because I'm like, man, listen, bro, we can't be that desperate. Okay? I will buy you a sandwich, something, a drink. Here you go. When I see people move into that desperation, that hurts my heart. And that's really what he was beginning to do. Because pigs don't eat the choice foods. Right? The pigs don't have salad right here, and steak right here, and bacon. Yeah, they definitely don't have bacon. They be like, that smell like my neighbor, right? But what I'm saying is they are eating filth. Garbage. Things that people should not be eating. That's why sometimes it's not good to eat pork. Right? But what we see here is he was so desperate and hungry at this point, he was willing to eat this food because his hunger drove him away from his father's house. We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon. And that's crazy. I've seen that happen to some of my friends that grew up in church. Their hunger for things in this world begin to get so strong that they begin to, I got to get out of here and go try something else. Right? And now all they're worried about is their money. All they're worried about is how they look, their fashion. I remember running into one of my friends one time at the gas station, and he wouldn't even wear his shoes outside the car because he had some really expensive shoes. I'm talking about at least a couple $1,000 pair of shoes, right? And he gets out and, he's stunting, basically, which means showing off. But I'm like, bro, if you got some shoes, wear them. If you got money like that, I mean, let's just talk for real. If you want to really stunt, if you got money like that, it don't matter. You can buy another pair. And I remember talking to him about God, like, bro, where are you at, man? And he said, but do you see my chain? And I was like, no, I'm dead serious. I looked at it and I was like, what the heck does that have to do with what I just said? But it showed me where his mind was at. I seen another friend talking about making money illegally. Caught up in making money. Oh, this guy, he took the rap for us. Man, that's a good guy to have around us. I don't know. Right? But these are people that I grew up with, and I see their hunger. They used to have a hunger, or at least they were in the church. They had a hunger for the things of God while they were there, but now their hunger has changed. And we heard my dad was talking about it earlier this week. They are now in the Hunger Games. chasing whatever they're hungry after, trying to get as much as you can. But this lost son was willing to eat the trash. And guess what? It's funny because everybody that chases something that is not stable, they become unstable. They start getting suicidal, right? Because they can't never be satisfied with a blowing of the wind. The Bible talks about that. If you're chasing the wind, you will never be satisfied. It's constantly going to blow. Like chaff that blows, so is the man that, it says that in Proverbs. So is the man that chases after the wind. That person will never be satisfied. So here's a son that probably lived it up for a while, got rid of his money in great ways in his mind. I don't know if you guys saw this week, and it's very sad. There was an NFL player that got caught in inside trading. I'm not going to say his name just to not put him down any further. But because he was caught inside trading, his career in the NFL might be over. Said he could face a maximum of 25 years. Bail at $5 million something, right? Because he thought his hunger to get this money got him in this situation. Now, I'll say this. With all the information coming out, he might not have known all about it. But sometimes it's about who you have around you, okay? And unfortunately, we see what happens when people do that. It messes them up because bad company corrupts good morals. But this son wasted his possessions, and now he's willing to eat what the pigs have left over. After the pigs ate it. That's the crazy thing. All right, it's not just, oh yeah, let me get in before the pigs. It's the pigs are done. Maybe I should eat that now. Like, come on, man. How bad can it get? But your hunger could drive you to that place where everything looks good. To somebody that loses something, anything that they find looks good, doesn't it? And that's why our hunger must be rooted in chasing after God. Because his word says we will be filled. Verse 17 says, but when he came to himself... Somebody say he came to himself. I don't know if his self was over there or his self was over there, but somehow they met together. And he said, all right, wait a minute. I'm tripping. That's pretty much what he's saying. I'm tripping. I'm about to eat this pig's slop when I can go back to my dad's house and even the workers eat better than that. If I go back to my dad... Right? He's coming to himself. If I just go back to my dad's house, he might not ever give me my inheritance again. But if I could just work it off, right? If I could just get in right standing with him again, I'll be cool. Now, here's the tough thing. It doesn't say that this took 1 month. It took 10 years. That's the thing about the Bible that we don't always see. How long it took this son to come to himself. Because, I mean, we all see situations in our own lives where we are praying for this person that has a hunger that is not for God. And we're praying, God, send them back. But we don't know how long it takes for them to get to that point where they come to themselves. When they get tired of all the loud music, all the colorful flashing lights. When the money doesn't satisfy them no more. When the riotous living is not satisfying to them no more. And they come to themselves and say, man, I had it better when I was with my dad. But verse 17 says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and a spare, and I perish with hunger? I perish with hunger. See, your hunger will allow you to live, or your hunger will drive you to die. He said, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Let me stop there for a second. The great thing about God, his hunger is to be with us. When we think about God, the reason why he created us wasn't just to be like, oh, I created man, now let them go do what they want to. His desire is for us to come to him just like that. Say, I'm not even worthy to be in your presence. I don't deserve anything that you give me. So I just want to serve you. And he said, wait, let me upgrade you. Get the best robe we got. Get the best steak. I don't know about you guys, but I've had some steaks, and some steaks is not that great. But when you had the best steak, you're like, whoa, you want to go ask the cook, what did you do back there, bro? Oh, you marinated this for 17 days? What? I mean, I don't know about you guys. If you ever watch some of those food stuff, sometimes steaks be marinating for years. And dad's like, I don't know about that. They're aged, not marinated. I'm sorry. They age them. Then they marinate them. So when it comes to you, there should be no problem. That's why it's going to cost you $1.50 by the time you get out of there, right? That's what he said. Go get the best calf. Let's feed this. He's hungry. Oh, man, let me get the. You. And he probably was saying when he ate that at that table, he's like, man, I can't believe I was about to eat that other stuff. Oh, my gosh, this is so good. I mean, I don't know about you. When you go back to eating your parents' food after a long time, you're like, man, I've been missing this. Nobody makes da-da-da like my mom or da-da-da like my dad, right? That's what happened when he came to himself. And God's ideal for humans is to be with him. Verse 25 says, now listen, this is the hunger of those that were with God. See, this is important. Even us that are with God, our hunger cannot be shifted because of circumstances. Okay? Because being in church, I can relate to this. Somebody comes in and, oh, man, all of a sudden they got the red carpet rolled out. And you're like, man, I done been here the whole time. Right? Sometimes we can, oh, man, well, I just want a good calf too. Right? Can we get a party for me? I've been here for like, what's the 10-year anniversary or whatever, you know? So that's kind of what the older son was going through. Said now his older son in verse 25 was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the best. He probably heard this out loud in his ears. It was like echoing in his ears. Best calf. Right? He came and he got the best calf, and it was so good. I mean, did you have a piece of it yet? No, you haven't. You've been in the field. I don't even know why we didn't invite you to the party, but we've been turning up for about 2 days. He was out in the deep field, I guess. But verse 28 says, but he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat. I mean, so he getting a beef. I didn't even get a goat. that I might have make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, now check this out. Look, now the funny thing is, aren't they brothers? That's one thing that we got to see. Because this guy says, the older son says, as soon as that guy that's your son, I'm not related to him at all, that slime, you know what I mean? He was going to eat pig stuff. He probably knew that too. He probably was the one that was like, this guy about to, you know, who knows? But he says, but as soon as that son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood, and he's trying to make that echo, your, he got rid of your stuff, yours, right? With harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him? The best. Remember, that was echoing in his head. He got the best. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and that all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now, what I want to say is our hunger, even as believers, cannot be to receive glory from man. Because that's really all that he was getting at that point that made the other brother upset. And I've seen a lot of people get glory and other people hating on that glory. Right? Wow, why does the pastor da-da-da-da? Wow, why did first lady da-da-da? Listen, it don't matter. Because at the end of the day, you can't get to heaven and say, I was VIP of this part of the church over here. God is like, who cares? Hallelujah. Did you make it into heaven just by the skirts of you? Okay, awesome. Right? That stuff doesn't matter. So we cannot allow our hunger to be caught up in that. Even as an artist, I can't allow my hunger to be hopefully these other artists like my music. Because check it out, most of those other artists are not buying my music. Right? So you learn it's I'm here to feed the people that wanna enjoy it. And I've even learned as I've getting older that every artist has their own crowd. Whether I don't like their music personally or vice versa, there's different people that they've been called to reach. They might not be the best. I might think, man, that's horrible. But they might sing a song and it touches somebody's heart. And if they're doing it unto God, hallelujah. Power to them. Amen. But our hunger has to be a hunger for righteousness. Amen. I'll go ahead and close right there. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for your word. I come before you asking, dear God, that you would make sure that our hearts are in the right place, dear God, that we hunger after you and not the things of this world, dear God, that we will not get caught up in positions, and we will not get caught up in fame, fortune, but we would get caught up in your presence, and we would get caught up with you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, touch our hearts, touch our minds, touch our spirits. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, we are dismissed.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.